Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, it is 3 p.m. on Thursday. That means it's time to meet your maker. I am your host, Rachel Wharton. There was a long-running joke here at Heritage Radio Network where in the early years, it was just a bunch of us sitting around and interviewing other bloggers. And so that's what I'm going to do today. So this show, usually you hear from people who make mustard, people who started nonprofits. And recently I went out to dinner and I sat next to my guest, Laura Luciano, who was in the process of, she just started blogging Out East Foodie. She is building a house out in East End. Which city?
It's Hampton Bays.
Hampton Bays. And it's like one, you know, probably everyone who's listening, it's their dream house. They'll have chickens, maybe some other animals,
bees.
A rooftop farm, bees. And in the process of doing this and becoming blogging or food writing is becoming more and more of her life. And I was really struck when I was talking to her about how, for the first time, all these things that she's loved about her life are coming together, because you're typically a graphic designer. And so this is a little bit different than normal show, because we're watching you, this become your life. And so I thought I'd start by telling us a little bit about how your blog came to be, Out East Foodie.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for coming all the way.
So 4 years ago, so how did this start? 4 years ago, I was laid off from an agency. And it was in 2008, and at that same time, my husband and I purchased a piece of land out east in Long Island. And so you would have to imagine that in that economic time, it's like, well, what do we do? And so we said, you know what, let's just take the jump, and we bought the land. And since then, we have been imagining what this place would be. We've been designing this house, and I have to say, why do we pick the East End of Long Island? It goes back to my roots. I mean, when I was a child, I would go out there frequently. My dad bought a house out there many, many, many years ago. And we would go fishing together.
Right.
We still go fishing together.
Is he Pops?
He's Pops.
He's Pops. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's helping you work on your house right now.
He sure is. Oh, my God. And he just came in and did all the electric work, and now he's sick.
Is that what he did by training?
Yes, he's an electrician.
And just take a step back. Your graphic arts design, and
yeah.
I think it was brand, like our overarching brands for companies, right?
Yes,
like
absolutely.
Looking at things from the bigger picture. And then your husband does construction.
My husband is an architect.
Right.
So you could imagine graphic designer, architect.
Right.
And so together, you can imagine what that's like, you know, designing our house together.
Yes.
And so,
but you have skills that like the rest of us wouldn't when we approach this kind of project.
Yes, absolutely. And so with this journey, we started, you know, building, thinking about our home. And we found a place on Sheridan Road. And it's, you have to imagine, it's a gravel road. It's in Hampton Bays. It's in the Red Creek area, right off of Peconic Bay. And we decided that we wanted our home to be sustainable.
Right.
And we call it Sheridan Green.
Right. And that's a name you made up.
That's a name that we made
up.
Sounds like an old
estate.
Actually,
like
let me.
Downton Abbey.
It was my stepmother that actually said, you know, you should call it Sheridan Green. So I have to give her credit.
It's beautiful. Like, I feel like it's just like, it's like you would drive up and there'd be like stone lions on either side.
You would think so, right?
Yes.
But it's really, what it is it's a sustainable home. It's going to have a rooftop garden. It's a geothermal solar. And what we call it is modern homesteading. And
right.
So
or like semi-urban, because out there it's like, I guess, I was thinking about that actually on the way here is how, like I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina, people talk about urban farming, but it's like a completely different scenario than even in Raleigh or where you are in near Hampton Bays than here in New York City. Because you actually have like a yard
yeah.
to work with.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what.
You still
what,
have neighbors though.
We do, but it's a 1 acre parcel. Mm-hmm. We have no desire to do an actual green yard.
Uh-huh.
So you have to imagine, we only took out about 40% of the trees which we're reusing.
How do you do that?
Oh, you got to go in and you got to like, you know, pull them out of the ground and then you
keep them wrapped up somewhere.
No, we have them piled up right now on the property.
Oh, wow,
but
that's so cool.
But we mulch the trees mm-hmm. so that we're able to use them for part of the construction. And So anyway, when we started building our, you know, thinking about our home, I when I got laid off, I should backtrack a little bit. I work at 400 square feet in my apartment in New York City.
Right.
And so since I've been working in this small space, I've been closer to my home, and I've become, you know, been honing in on my cooking skills. And so
that's what I was going to ask. Is tell me when food became more than just something that you ate three times a day, if you're lucky.
Well, as a child, you have to understand, I grew up in a family. It was both sides were Italian. I watched my grandmother make pasta, and I helped her make pasta. So that was always ingrained in us.
And it was from Piacenza, right?
Piacenza. The proper name to say is it's tortelli piacentini.
We were talking about these the other day. So describe these to me again, because the picture looked amazing.
Yeah.
They're like little boats.
Yeah. My grandmother would make these raviolis that she called tutes, but they're tortelli piacentini. And imagine if in your hand you would create a disc, and then you would put a spinach and ricotta in the middle, and then you would ribbon it. You would close it as you go, and you would creep and creep and creep,
like
and then
a
close
braid
it.
Almost.
Like a braid, yeah. Almost. And she would make these, and for years I never knew what the proper name was until she passed, because I was like asking my mother, and my mom was not quite sure. So of course I went online and I looked, and I realized, you know, I was frantic, and I emailed this woman that made them. And I'm like, my grandmother makes these. She calls them tutes. I wonder if that's a slang somewhere in Piacenza, so to speak.
And what was the proper name again?
It's a tortelli piacentini.
How did your grandmother get that nickname for them?
No idea. No. I mean, she had a slang for everything.
Was it dialect?
It was her dialect, I would say. Yeah, so I wouldn't say it was proper by any means. But it was her. That's how we... Yeah. You know, what we were accustomed to. My friends would say to me, you know, Laura, you really should start a food blog. You know, you enter all these cooking...
Because you were talking about it all the time.
Yeah, I know. And you enter all these cooking competitions.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I mean, for Jimmy's, number 43.
Oh, right. Okay. The Cassoulet, or was it another one?
It was the Cassoulet cook-off recently. Yeah.
This past year.
Yeah, where I won People's Choice.
That's pretty good. That's actually,
I get bragging rights. Yes.
People's Choice is the one. Because like, with the having
and
done
judges
the judging,
award.
You won both of them?
Yes, it was
sweet.
Unanimous.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty rare. Usually they don't match up that evenly. That's incredible.
Everything was aligned this year, thank God.
And wait, what was your cassoulet?
It was a duck confit cassoulet,
nice.
With
like
homemade sausage. It was more traditional, yeah. And I'm in the duck off this weekend also. Jimmy got me into that. So now I have literally, okay, so again, 400 square feet. I got 20 duck leg right now in my college-sized refrigerator.
It's college-sized?
It is.
Like a square.
It is, which is brining. And then I have about 10 pounds of duck fat, which is on my fire escape, by the way.
That's
pretty
nice.
I can't fit it anywhere.
It's almost worth entering the duck competition just to... get that stuff and cook with it. Most of us never do.
So it's a little crazy.
You could have brought the ducks with you from Long Island, actually, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess I could have. So I started the food blog, and I started a food blog called Out East Foodie. And
why did you decide to do Out East instead
out
of
East.
400 square feet or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, because my heart is really, when I was thinking about a place that's... That speaks to my husband and I's life and the way we want to live. I thought about that the Out East and the East End, it really speaks to the way we want to live our life. It's helpful and healthful.
Uh-huh.
Modern homesteading, when we think about Sheridan Green, is your property, your energy, your choice. And so when you think about the food blog for me was a way to get to know my community all over again. So as a child, I knew what the East End was like. But now here I am going around meeting with the people in the community, the food community, the edible community, farmers, artisans, fishers, the chefs. And I go and I'm able to meet with them. I tell their stories. If I have an opportunity, I take their product and then I make something out of it. If I go eat at a restaurant, for example, I might do a spinoff on what that chef does.
Are many of these farms things that you knew growing up as a little girl, or are most of it new?
Some of them I did know of, but a different set of lenses. As a child, you know, we went fishing. We never went and bought fish. Mm. My dad, forget it. I mean, we go out. We never came back empty-handed.
Uh-huh.
Whether it was crabbing or clamming or fishing.
I've never been crabbing or clamming. Oystering, maybe. You rake.
Well, we did feeding. Uh-huh. Where you would go with your feet. So, yeah, and then once in a while, a crab would bite your toe, and
that's how you get. That's how you go crabbing. Yeah. So Peconic Bay oysters are pretty famous right now, right?
In the Peconic Bay, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's we would go fishing in the Shinnecock.
All these adjattives I know only attached to food.
And
items.
Then the ocean, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, with that said, we back to the Out East foodie. So here I am getting to know the community, and what I'm realizing is that the Out East foodie and also this house that we're building, Sherrida Green, is really synonymous. It's synonymous in that, you know. And that eventually this place called the Sheridan Green will become a place where I can host the Out East Feast.
Right.
So when I think about that, it's like, you know, here's the Out East Feast where chef, you know, the chef would be there or the bean maker or the winemaker. And then I would be able to tell their stories and it would be a series and it would be in a place that's healthful and uh-huh. helpful.
What you're saying is obviously things that you've thought a lot about. So when did that come to you to describe it like that?
It came to me in that I'm thinking about, like, again, when you're living in, you know, when you think about where you live, that the place that you live in, you want it should give back to you what you put into it. You right. shouldn't put into it more than it gives
what if it
back
needs
to you.
It?
What if it needs
What if it needs a little bit more of you before it's ready to give back? That sometimes is the case.
Well, it is. It's just like relationships, right? Right. You got to give a little, yeah. and then you get a little back. But when you think about, you know, energy in your home, if you're doing geothermal or solar, and you're using materials that are sustainable, think about the food, right? In the food world, we try to buy organic. We are living in a place where we chose that sits in the armpit between the North Fork and the South Fork. That was a decision that we made. We wanted to be very close to be able to toggle between the North and the South Fork of Long Island. And it's where...
So where are you in relation to Riverhead?
We are literally...
Which is like right there at the
right there.
Eyeball of the
it's
fish.
It's like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's right there. Mm. We didn't want to be too far out east, because if we were, then we'd be very far from the North Shore.
Right.
And if we lived on the North Shore, we'd be too far from the South Shore. So, so when we think about being local, we are being healthful and right. that we are... Number one, supporting our farmers and fishers, and then I'm telling their stories and helping them in that respect. And then our home gives back in that it is a sustainable place that we're not burning any fossil fuels.
None at all.
Except for one thing, which is propane. We're going to be using propane for uh-huh. the for our cooktop because I refuse to use electric.
So that's like induction?
It's going to be, so you'll have like flame,
uh-huh.
basically.
Hmm. Have you thought about, there's like fancy wood-fired ones you could use now?
No, I didn't think
about
that.
There's this company, actually, like episode number two on Meet Your Maker was this guy who makes, it's called Grillworks, and it's what they have at Tertulia. It's a wood-fired, and then there's an adjustable crank arm, and you can raise and lower the grate so you can have way
oh, yeah.
more control.
I've seen this.
I've met some people who have it inside, and they could literally cook without, you'd have to have wood, but you would probably have access to it. It might be something you're not finished with your kitchen yet, right?
No,
you should.
Not.
You should totally. I should bring
my husband will kill me.
Yeah, they're stunning, and it's kind of amazing. You become obsessed with cooking over them. But it'd be all wood, and then you can make your own. It isn't just you simply feeding a wood fire. I know some chefs who do it who do biochar, and they make their own charcoal so that they use very little wood by the end of it. It's pretty fat, but biochar is like a whole nother like path if you're going totally sustainable, like using your animal bones.
I'd like to do an outdoor oven, actually.
Yeah, this would be that, because then you could use it for everything.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
So did you, now you're transitioning to not just cooking, you're growing and tending, which is like a whole nother, you know, hive of bees.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, we're growing as the days go, because we're building. You know, my blog is going to be, you know, you ebb and flow, right? Mm-hmm. So as you grow and move on, mm-hmm. the blog might evolve and change as well.
But your skills too. So is gardening something that you've done before, or is it all going to be new?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do, I do donate my time at the Stuyvesant Square Community Alliance for at the parks there, so I do a little bit of volunteer work. So I do have a little bit of a green thumb. I would say my husband has probably more of a green thumb than I do. So I'm going to be growing into a few of these things, like tending a chicken coop.
Right.
It'll be one thing. Bees, I mean, please. I'm going to have to, like, you know, figure that out.
I just, I've interviewed a beekeeper, and she's working on a, you should get her book. She used to be, like, I think her, she used to be the Brooklyn homesteader, but now she's technically the New Jersey homesteader because she moved there. But she, you know, it's, I feel like when you read about taking care of bees, it's like 90% like, oh, it's so easy. And then you get into the details and it's actually, I mean, it is both easy and you have to pay a lot of, you have to become one with your bees, which will probably, which will be like a fascinating line for your blog is getting, it's like, pay, like her whole book was about paying attention to them as creatures and making sure they're okay by getting in touch with them, essentially.
My husband had an idea that he wanted the bees on top of our rooftop garden. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm like, maybe we'll put them like to the side somewhere. I'm a little nervous about putting them on top of the roof, but we'll,
she recommended we'll that.
She recommended the
roof. Well, partially because she was writing for a lot of people in big cities and there isn't much other places aren't many places to put them, but then they're not visible, so it's a really easy way because neighbors get scared of them even when they shouldn't be because there's beehives in nature everywhere and it keeps bears away. I mean, lots of other like raccoons, like it's safer for the bees.
Raccoons
and
are big,
they're warm. Yeah. Roofs are, and bees need warmth. I learned so much about bees from reading this book.
The deer are pretty prolific out there, and the raccoons.
Right.
Hence why we're raising our, having a rooftop garden. Because people are probably wondering, well, you have 1 point something acres. Why are you not doing a garden on the lower level? Well, because there's so many deer that we would be feeding the deer, basically.
Like, at this point, can't you just, like, take out a net?
Yeah.
And like, capture a couple of deer. I mean, it's getting to that stage, right? It's bad, right?
Well, you know what? We're in their territory.
Yes. But we've also completely adjusted the landscape. They have no more, there's no predators other than our automobiles. Ooh, we're going to take a quick break, hear from some of our sponsors, and then we'll come back with more Out East Foodie.
Great. You're listening to Dues Paid by RecTech on heritageradionetwork.org. This program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. We're committed to making wholesome, delicious, and sustainably produced heritage foods available to all Americans. In doing so, we will foster the link between sustainable land use, small-scale food production, and preservation of the foods of past generations for future generations. For more information and to order today, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
Welcome back to Meet Your Maker. I'm your host, Rachel Wharton. Today we are talking to Laura Luciano, who is the woman behind OutEastFoodie.com. She's also working on a completely sustainable home called Sheridan Green in Hampton Bays, which I want to hear more about. It will soon be the home of Out East Feast. I always think, whenever I say Out East, I think of a belly button. Because every time I've said it, I'm like Outie, which kind of ties back to pasta, which we were talking about at the beginning of the show. But so tell me a little bit more about all the, so I mean, obviously everyone was like, a solar rooftop garden. So tell me more about the bells and whistles on your future sustainable estate.
So I guess that's just it. I guess there really is no bells and whistles.
No, but they are.
I mean, I guess to the ear, it's
well,
a bells
I meant
and
the,
whistles.
The things that you're hoping to do there.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, again, the home is Sheridan Green.
Uh-huh.
It's a sustainable home. So what does that mean? That means it's a geothermal. It's solar. We have a rooftop garden, which is going to be basically it's a kitchen. You know, uh-huh. It's for our kitchen garden.
Tell me about the geothermal.
So the geothermal, what that does is, you know, you drill all the way down into the ground, and then that heats up the. You know, we're going to have radiant floor, so uh-huh. We'll have like warm floor. It's a warm, hot air, forced air, mm-hmm. and then it's cooling as well. And then the solar array, what that does is that provides the electricity for the grid.
Where is your solar array going to be?
It's going to be south facing.
Uh huh.
So you have to see, it's about a 20-foot. So our property isn't just flat.
Uh-huh.
It goes down on a hill. I mean, there's a slope. And so what we've done is when you pull up to the property, you'll see the front is the carport, and then it's the rooftop garden, and then mm-hmm. it's our working studio as architect and graphic designer. And then when you go down into the courtyard, there's an actual courtyard where there's large windows, and then there's the master bedroom above that, and then there's a roof that's slanted, which is going to hold the solar array
uh-huh.
for the
okay.
house itself. So the courtyard, but then... Behind all of that is my yoga studio.
Oh, right.
Which is my...
Just for you?
Just, well, yeah, nice. It'll be just for me. Yeah, it's going to be...
That's why you move out of the city.
Yeah, it's a... I'm a Bikram yoga fanatic. So I go every day, 90 minutes, I'm sweating my butt off. And so, again, being healthful, it's like, let the property do for you,
uh-huh.
you know, for the health of your life. And so yoga is very important to me, and so we built the studio in the back.
Is it? Well, there's windows. You can
there,
see your.
There's some windows. I mean, it needs to be heated.
Coop.
There's a few windows. There's one window in the south, and there's one that faces the west. But it needs to be something that's insulated, so that's 110 degree temperature, and 35% humidity. It can be converted into maybe a guest room when someone uh-huh. comes, and also maybe even a place where we can, you know, showcase projects of things mm-hmm. of that nature. But it
might be the perfect temperature for some food,
possibly
product.
Maybe
yogurt or cured meat. Yeah, it might be
cured meat.
I bet it is. There's at least one product that is the perfect humidity heat range. Surely,
I'm sure I'll figure it out if there is. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once this home gets built, I mean, my dream really is to have a video series there, which would be called the Out East Feast. I use the word out east because, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we'd always say, oh, where are you going? We're going out east.
Out east. Does that mean out, that's from the city to
from
where
the city.
You were, not further out east.
Right.
All the same.
Right. I grew up in Hawthorne, New York, which is, you know, about 30 minutes outside of New York City. But we would always say, you're heading out east. And that would mean out in Long Island.
Uh-huh.
Out east. So that always stuck with me.
It's amazing to me how out east has stayed. It's still so rural seeming out there. It's really, you hear so much about the Hamptons, and until you actually go see it, you're like, oh, that's why everybody wants to be out here, because it's still kind of stunningly beautiful.
It really and truly is. I mean, there, it's, you know, out there, there's a revitalization, I say, or a revolution, food revolution. I mean, what's going on out there is just phenomenal. I mean, there are people that are so passionate about what they do. The farmers are, you know, these are salt of the earth people, the
right.
fishers. I mean, you know, these guys are, that's their livelihood. And to be in the middle of that, to live for the rest of our lives in this home, in the middle of that, is so exciting to me. And to be able to go and tell their stories and then come back to our house and then have a video series called, the Out East Feast, where I can host these dinner parties around the feast. So that I can tell each person's story is really something that I can give back to the community. See, the house is giving
right.
back, right? And then it gives to us.
Has the farming... I mean, that's one thing that is very different than the city, where there's urban agriculture, but it's a very new movement. People who are trying new things and doing new things, but in the north of the city or out east, you have this historical agricultural community that has been there since there have been people on this land, and that's this level that you just don't get when you approach growing in the city. It's like and also you have, you know, fishermen, which we used to have in New York City, but not so much anymore. And so to be able to connect with them, do you? And you've been going out there your whole life. Do you feel like the average Easter? It's East Ender, right?
East Ender.
Does the average East Ender think about what the food community, the food shed around them, in a different way than they used to? Or has it always been kind of a strong connection out there?
That's a really good question. I think there has always been a strong connection out there because we're surrounded by it. You can't ignore it. I think over the years, I think now presently, it's probably stronger, I think, than it's ever been.
Right.
I mean, I think people are more in touch with what's happening out east in Long Island. I mean, you know, people are going to their farmers to get, you know, their products, as opposed to going to the big, you know, superstores.
And trying to protect them so now that there is more interest in developing that it doesn't disappear.
Correct. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
So who would be your dream? Who's the first person you want to invite to the first feast? Who'll be your first guest star?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to keep that close to the chest.
Oh, so you already thought about it.
I have thought about it. Uh-huh. I have a few. I mean, it's going to be interesting. We'll see. I mean, I'm going to keep that one.
Okay. So you don't, also, I was thinking, you don't have to, it doesn't have to always be it doesn't have to always be, you know, a hired gun, because eventually,
true,
think about July or August when you have eggs and you have, we wouldn't have, I don't know if you have honey. Maybe you do. Maybe there's a first harvest early in the, I think you can take out a little without freaking them out. And you have all this stuff from your rooftop farm. It's like people could come and simply see what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're going to do a tour of the house. So there will be a tour of the entire house for people to
frequently
see.
Or is there one that everyone has to sign up now?
Right now there'll be one.
How far along is it?
Until August.
That's
August
when the house will be ready?
The house will be ready, yes.
So you're completely getting ready to plant that rooftop garden any second now?
Not yet. I think we'll probably be ready by next spring.
Not going to do it this year?
We're going to try. Uh-huh. I mean, it's, you know, we got a lot going.
Yeah.
We're going to try. I mean, I wish, but... Yeah, I mean, and also, like, again, with the Out East Feast, it's not just about having big gun chefs, you know.
Right.
It can be also, you know,
the
other
fishermen.
Absolutely. But though they would be they would be invited because it's their fish. So if the fish is there, it's the fishermen. If, you know, it's Corjay's that'll be there. I mean, if it's, you know, the winemaker, you know, then it's going to be the winemaker that's going to be there. If it's going to be a chef, then it would be, you know, a Keith Luce.
Yeah, that's actually how I convinced you to come, because you were trying to get me to book him. And I was like, no, I think I should talk to you, too. It's really interesting what you're doing. Oh, so is your husband.
Yes.
Has he been dragged kicking and screaming into this? Or is this something that he's really excited about too?
Oh, you mean the house
the fact that it might be, the house might be part of what you do for a living?
Well, he is so passionate about what he does. He is, when we go out there, so you have to imagine every weekend we're out there, he gets up early in the morning, he's at that job site at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he does not get home till 6:30 at night, and he is happier than a pig in poo-poo.
She might have one day.
He may just as well camp there, because, I mean, this is his dream. And, you know, imagine an architect being able to build their, you know, their dream home, not only for himself, but, you know, for his wife and our dog, of course. But he's excited about what it's going to grow into.
Uh-huh.
So as we're building this house together, we are building together a life that we want for ourselves. And so as I'm inventing myself, and as the Out East foodie evolves, he's watching that with me, and then I'm watching him as he's thinking about what he's doing within his, you know, business and in his life. I think he's overly joyed that it can give back.
Very nice way to put it. Are these the types of things that you're building into your house? Things that are they new, or has he had clients who have wanted those kinds of things?
He has built for clients, very similar type of construction down in Maryland. There's some houses that he's you know, retrofitting now to be sustainable. I think he strives to have that when he approaches a project. You know, when you approach a project, right? There's two clients. It's the land, right? So you have to be a steward to the land. You know, it's not like you just pick out a, you know, this house and you just plop it there. I mean,
right.
You
gotta some people do that.
They do, and you would hope that they don't. And then, you know, it's also the client would be you. So how do you want to live your life? You know, do you want a healthful life?
Uh-huh.
You know, and do you want it to work for you?
So what was the other H?
The other, healthful and helpful,
yeah.
I say. Mm. We call it, again, modern homesteading,
right.
Which is a term that you'll see a
Have
lot
you
of.
Met there must be a modern homesteading meetup group in East End at this point.
I don't know of one yet.
Out East.
I don't know of one yet.
I feel
yet.
Like your house could people who are just as interested in food ways, your house might be also as interesting.
Yeah.
At least I would be one of those people who would sign up. So my parents and I would be totally like first in line to go on that house tour.
Yes. I mean, I'm hoping that that's an example. I mean, again, you know, what we put in our bodies keeps us healthy, right? And so the Outie's Foodie is about things that are helpful. And then I think about the place that you share a meal in should be healthful too and helpful. And I hope that our place can be where people would congregate. We could talk food. Share stories, talk about solar. It could be an example for, you know, building types, renewable energy and what that looks like in, you know, future modern building.
It's very cool. I got to remember to get you that grill guy. Because I want to come visit your house when you can cook on it.
When I can cook on it.
They're kind of amazing. Okay, so again, people can find you at outeastfoodie.com. Click on the house button, then you get to hear more about Sheridan Green.
Yes.
Everywhere else is filled with your recipes. And you got to be sure if you go to the site, Google, like look for that pasta, because these little plates, they're like the most amazing, the little braids of these things. The tuta?
Yeah, my grandmother would call them tutés.
Tutés.
Tortelli, piacentini. It's under the ricotta gnocchi section.
Oh, there's a section?
Well, it was a post for the butternut squash ricotta.
Yeah, that's
gnocchi.
Actually that one post. Pasta.
So I could teach you. We could do pasta classes
too. Gonna, yes, you should. We're going to do that. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
To meet your maker.
My pleasure.
Thank you. See, I told you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.